Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. The Federal Reserve said today it appears inflation is under control and headed lower. It dropped its benchmark interest rate by 0.5%. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell took a victory lap.
Our patient approach over the past year has paid dividends. Inflation is now much closer to our objective, and we have gained greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2%.
CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says she hopes you've enjoyed the high rates you've been getting on your CDs.
Interest rates still are high, and that means you'll get a high interest rate on a high-yield savings account or a certificate of deposit or a money market account. But those interest rates are coming down, and savers are on alert. They know that the party is about to come to a close.
But lower rates are coming for borrowers. Some analysts believe rates could drop another 2% by 2026. CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about lies, and that's the truth. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance predicts Donald Trump will win Wisconsin. He rallied supporters in Eau Claire yesterday.
From Wisconsin, we're going to send a message. And that message is, we're going red, the country's going red, Donald J. Trump is our president, and we're going to win in November.
Trump maintains he won Wisconsin in 2020, though all evidence shows he lost. Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Madison Friday night. Senator Tammy Baldwin is speaking out for in vitro fertilization. Senate Republicans blocked the bill establishing a nationwide right to IVF yesterday. Baldwin says IVF helps people who want to have families. Baldwin's challenger, Eric Hovde, also says he supports IVF procedures. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, September 19th, in Wood County, the Golden Sand Resource Conservation and Development Council, Inc., Finance Personnel Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the George W. Meade Wildlife Area in Millidor. The Water Resource Committee and the Forestry Agriculture Wildlife Committee will both meet at 10:15, and the regular Business Executive Committee meeting will follow at 11. The Wisconsin Rapids Waterworks and Lighting Commission will hold a special commission meeting at 9:30 in their conference room. There's a Solaris Town Hall meeting at McMillan Library from 3 to 8 p.m. It will be in the all-purpose room. The Town of Rome will hold their town board meeting at 5. VFW Post 2534 will hold their monthly meeting at 6. In Portage County, the Age Friendly Commission will meet at 6 in the community room on Michigan Avenue. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers' magic number is 1. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Lemons. Milwaukee lost 5-1 to the Phillies on Tuesday, but because the Chicago Cubs also lost, the Brewers need either a win or a Cubs loss on Wednesday to clinch the NL Central and a playoff spot. With the Cubs game likely done before the Brewers take the field against the Phillies, Milwaukee could know its playoff fate before first pitch tonight. The Green Bay Packers may be without Jordan Love for a second straight game due to an MCL sprain, but Coach Matt LaFleur is ready to go with Malik Willis, who he said is prepared if they need him again.
I would say that he was pretty relatively calm throughout the course of the entire game. And, you know, when we did ask him to do certain things, he was able to go out there and execute. So that definitely gave us confidence, especially as the game wore on.
Willis threw his first career touchdown pass in the win over the Colts. The Packers take on Tennessee this Sunday at noon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and pleasant for tonight, with low temperatures dropping back to the mid-50s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, warm and humid with highs in the mid-80s. Evening storms, some could be strong. Mostly sunny, warm, but less humid Friday. High temperatures into the low 80s.
It's 82 right now.
Midday Magazine. Talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship.
This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax.
Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll head a little east of Madison to talk to a candidate for assembly in this week's Women Win Wisconsin, powered by Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today, we're going to talk to our friend Christy from the Hanna Center. They got a bunch of great events coming up. We're looking forward to talking with her. Right now, we have a couple of great friends in studio with us. One, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher. Matt, good to see you.
Oh, thanks for having me again, James.
Yeah, always good to have you with us. And, of course, our friends Joe and the gang over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. We say a big shout-out to them. Like and subscribe to their page. Go to YouTube and keep up to date on all the great things they are doing there and all over Facebook and other social media. Keep up to date and support the work that they are doing. Matt, how you doing? How are things going?
Everything's going well.
Good.
Again, still in probably the honeymoon phase, but getting to know people real well and, you know, just keeping my feet set and learning what I need to do so I can move forward in the best interest of the city. So learning fast.
It's interesting, I guess, you know, if you went back in the history of Wisconsin Rapids mayors, you're going to see a number of times these things happening. But whether it is where Shane Blazer walking into a big thing with the pandemic and some of those, and for yourself coming in with the, I would say that we are certainly doing better, but still have the remnants of that still going on in our community. And then something that is gigantic in this community, the mill, and what was going to happen with that and where direction that's going. You come walk in and boom, there's that who's waiting for you. I'm sure, imagine every mayor has their, you know, big albatrosses or things that they have to tackle. But, you know, for our last couple of mayors, I think it's been pretty impressive to see what has been going on. And currently what is going on with the mill, I've heard a lot of positive feedback from our community, some of our business leaders. When it comes to the mill, what is the most recent update on that as far as the past couple of weeks and what's been going on with it?
Yeah, so just to kind of touch on what you first started with there, there's a lot of things that happen that the mayor has really no control over. And so Shane walking in when he did at that time, pandemic, who'd have guessed?
Yeah.
And then the mill shutting down almost because of the slowdown in the world. You know, nobody would have guessed that, even though it's to some degree things were changing over the last, you know, decade with the mill. Then for me to be able to come in at a time when the mill was then sold to CRG with the understanding that they were going to figure out what they needed to do to redevelop it into what we're calling now an industrial park. And so in the end, you know, people are saying, you know, great job to me. And I say, you know what, this has to do with so many moving pieces that I am just a part of. And my goal in the end is to just make sure that every bridge is built in order to make sure that because in the end, it's a contract and everybody has to sign it in order to move forward. So whatever would come up, you know, I've kind of said it before, like it was kind of like poetry in motion in a way, because there's so many voices, so many big interests, and be able to keep narrowing it down until boom, everybody signed the paper and moved forward. And they allowed us some concessions as a city to have some safeguards if MRD, who's Jerry, the owner, out of Milwaukee. Great company. They have a great history on what they've done, so we expect great things for them. CRG has a great history with what they've done. They brought on Glenn Gilbert to be the go-between. You know, it was Sue Schill, Kyle Kearns, everybody that was just a part of this in order to make it all happen. And you get the bond companies, the insurance companies, and it was just amazing to see. And in the end, it's a happy, sad ending. The happy part is we are moving forward as a community. We're going to be able to have this land back. The sad part to it is people put their life and blood, sweat, and tears into building that craft mill. And for that, like, I have sympathy, you know, or even empathy in the sense of I've built a business. Granted, it has no scale in terms of what we're talking about here. And if you walk through what they built, it's just phenomenal, the amount of money and ingenuity and know-how to go into building that. For those folks that are in the community now or not in the community that were a part of that process, you know, my heart does go out to them. And I appreciate, I say thank you to them for everything they did do to bring, for that 100-year period, and all the generations that went into that is just phenomenal. And the simple fact that that could be built, and within a few decades, everything changes. Nobody would have guessed that. Nobody would have guessed that. So, again, happy, sad. Happy that we can move on and that people are giving me the leeway to bring that news to the community and be excited about the future of that land and the industry that's going to be coming. Once that is down and completely removed, we'll have about 230 acres of industrial sites to build on. We have the electricity waiting for these new industries to build in. They'll bring employment as much as we can get. You know, they'll bring new employment opportunities. And then the schools, you know, MSTC will be, you know, finding out how to help educate people to fill those positions. So it's kind of a, you know, it's a win-win all the way around, and we just have to stay positive and think about the great things to come, because that in the end is life. Nothing ever stays the same forever, and we are very ingenuitive and creative and resilient, and we move forward.
And when's the last project, from big or small, that got done with negativity? Like, when's the last time you saw something accomplished with people being negative?
Oh, you know? I understand what you're saying.
No, it doesn't happen. As far as your point with positivity and having a good spirit about this or anything that we're talking about today or anything going on in society and period. Yeah. Like, I really challenge people to ask yourselves, when's the last time something was accomplished with people being negative?
Yeah.
With people being, you know, that naysayers or anything like that? Nothing gets done that way.
Well, and as much as I talked about, like, coming in my head, I'm like, I want to do what I can to build bridges for everyone, but I'm only human, and that negativity just beats the energy out of you to the point where you become ineffective. And I feel for the people who live in the negative world, my assumption is they were kind of brought up that way, and then the things that they've, you know, have happened in their life have kind of built that. And I, again, for whenever those people want to reach out and talk, I'm more than happy to have a conversation, but I'm not going to let that negative side of life bring us down. And it's something we battle all the time, if you want to call it a spiritual realm or whatever. It's always good versus evil, happy versus sad, the world of relativity. You know, it is what it is, but you can't live in that world if you want to progress.
It's a great point to bring up, too, and especially in a political season like this, where the person that goes into the job and is a reacting kind of thing, and certainly with some ideas, but there is only so much that you can control and so much you can do, and there are so many things that happen out of your control. I think it's really important to note that we almost associate politicians with events in certain things, and there is only so much that can be controlled in certain ways, and it's a good thing to note about that too. And as far as the mill goes and the cleanup of that, some of the work being done there, you mentioned the amount of space there that's going to be available for businesses. Do we have already something established to take over that space? Are there businesses reaching out already currently trying to, like, hey, what's going on over there? It looks like a nice spot over there. Anything like that going on?
Yeah, so this is some of the stuff I've learned in the last 4 or 5 months since I've been in office now. So, again, I've I know there's a lot of people that get frustrated with the Community Development Department, i.e. Kyle Kearns and the inspectors that are there. In the end, what we're asking them to do is a really tough job. We're saying, help our community grow, help our economy grow. But then at the same time, tell everybody what they can and can't do in order to make that happen. And so some way, somehow, I'd like to figure out if I can separate those two. But ultimately, that's the job of the government. We've been elected over the years to make votes, and people have voted in these new codes, these new zoning things in order to beautify. Like, everybody complains about how bad A Street is, but the only way you can change A Street is to set up a new zoning code in order to say we're going to beautify it as people are building new. Granted, I know the frustration is coffee shops and car washes, but at the same time, if they can get market share, they wouldn't be investing their money if they couldn't, and they're putting in green space and making it look nice. It is what it is, as long as they follow the paperwork or, you know, the rules that are there. So if we want A Street to look better, which we all do, I know that, then it has to start one property at a time as they redevelop it. And that's where those zoning regulations come in, and people can get real frustrated and say, you can't tell me what to do. You're just you're the government. And we're like, yeah, but we all agreed to follow these rules that we've kind of agreed to when we move into the city, because that's the city that has the rules. So again, I reach out to those people as much as I can and say, hey, as Matt Zacker, business owner, resident, how can I help you? I just want to help because I like ideas. I like to help people come up with stuff. I realize as soon as I didn't realize this, but I do now, as soon as you become mayor and take on that title, it does change the way people see you and view you. Not you personally, but the role itself becomes very much it's a respect thing, but also I'm going to the top to, you know, hit the punching bag because I can't get anything else done any other way. And I respect that, but at the same time, I can't put the city into chaos by giving everybody their own rule, you know, their own rules and doing whatever they want. And I'm going to lose the faith of the city itself and the residents and businesses pretty quick if I do that. So it is moving along well. And to answer your question on the mill itself, people are talking that gets marketed from our community to the state level, region level, state level, to the country level, to the world level when it comes to this sizable development. Everybody knows, and it comes down that there's not that many businesses that have the kind of money that can invest in this kind of an area. Yeah. And those are the folks that are looking. And yes, it's there. Those are all the things that I have to say up. I'm limited in what I can say about it until stuff kind of comes to fruition. But yes, it's very exciting about what's coming. The 16 building and machine are always going to be a little bit of an outlier, but I'm excited about those things too and the conversations that are happening around that at this time.
To your point of the land and moving into a community and some of those things, we learned this at a young age. This land is your land. This land is my land. It's all of ours. Like, we share it together and everything. It's not just a one-size-fits-all kind of thing.
Agreed.
Speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacker. And Matt, I wanted to talk a little bit about the railroad relocation and some of that going on right now, one of the bigger topics in our community.
Yeah, so right now this has kind of made its way over the last month and a half into the council in order to get their input and ultimately their agreement to move forward on certain things. And what this was is a federal program for rail relocations. And so I saw it and just kind of came across. I was never an email guy, but all of a sudden I got hundreds of emails every day coming through. So I saw this one, passed it on to the folks that know more than I know in the city about what this all entails. We started putting the pieces together. Ultimately, what it came down to at first was grade separation on Grand Avenue. We kind of came to the conclusion pretty quick that if we do that, we can never move that rail. And to me, that rail has been, I'm kind of saying right now, it's got like a stranglehold on that west side, and I think we need to get that off of their ability to develop and investments and stuff like that. And so what happened then is we switched gears, talked to the grant writing company and said, we want to write a grant for relocating this track, but we need more time to do it. They said, let's write a grant for the planning phase of it. So the planning is just that, it's planning. So in order to get that done, Joe Eichstead worked on that with the planning group, AIRS, and my task was to reach out to everybody that that would be touched by this and attempt to get them to give us a letter of support to say, yes, we agree. And my selling point was, one, we're not asking for money, and two, we're not asking for commitment. What we're asking for is a conversation. to just see what the possibilities are. Because in reality, that track that goes around there, it has one spur on it from Port Edwards all the way to the track back by Dura Beauty Lane back there. It has one spur, and that is for General Chemical or Chemtrade. I've been working with those guys. They all are interested in understanding what's possible. I'm still in conversation with them. But again, we have a chemical factory that is right on the edge of a residential facility. We're working with chemical cars coming through and affecting thousands of people every day from Port Edwards all the way up here through our side, Grand Avenue and even High Street. So right now we have two letters of support. Our deadline is, it's kind of like Thursday afternoon is when we're getting it in. We have a little bit of leeway, but we'll see what happens. I'm waiting on two more letters to see if I can get them. If not, we're still submitting it. And we're looking at taking this entire track out here, if at all possible. That's 10 road crossings that we would change with just one that would come through if things work out this way, some other land that county may own, and we'll be having those conversations. And again, this has all been talked about through the city council meeting, so it's all kind of public information as we go along. And since I've been here, it's been in the conversation ever since. So if we can make this happen, it's gonna do amazing things for the community on the west side and the emergency services and the people that live there. So
Two quick questions. One, you kind of answered this a little bit, but so when you were asking for those letters from businesses, just trying to get the conversation going, get the ball rolling, you said you've gotten two. Have you heard back, or are you getting positive feedback from those businesses about this project or the idea?
Let me clarify that. So we got them the letters of support from multiple county organizations. We got the Wisconsin DOT letter of support. We got... I'm still working on CN Railroad, but the conversations are really positive. And again, we have time for that. Port Edwards and their school district, Village of, have sent them in. Seneca sent them in. Wisconsin Rapids, obviously, has sent them in. ERCO Worldwide has sent theirs in because they'll be affected by this to some degree. So we're really working with CN Railroad and Chemtrade at this time. And again, the conversations are good. It's just a matter of they're big companies. So, you got to
takes a while
get somebody
too.
That'll say, yeah.
Getting somebody on the phone can be difficult these days.
But at the same time, my pleasantly persistent mode of operation hopefully is chipping away, and we'll be able to get those done because it's a huge project that I think everybody buys into.
So. You're the third mayor I've had the honor to be able to interview and talk to and get to know and everything. And if there is a consistency, it is that is the train system and what we do about that and what we're going to go with that. This is as far as I've ever heard this topic get, though. I've never heard us get to this stage where we're actually talking about doing something, really. Like, there's plenty of times where we've talked about the trains, but it always comes down to the same thing and the same answer. Oh. This is the first time I've ever actually heard, like, this is a big step.
Well, again, I don't take... This isn't about me. This is about everybody else that has to get involved in order to make it happen. But I guess I have learned over life, and I've gone through this, cycles, depending on where you are in life, can we do it all together in group work, whatever you want to call that, socialism, but then people get scared versus capitalism, private sector, public sector. And I look at it now and say, if somebody doesn't take the ball and run, if nobody's leading, if one person isn't leading, then really nobody's leading. That's what I've come to in life. So even if it's a group effort, somebody's still got to keep pushing. So if I serve anything here, it's just that purpose of just being annoying enough to keep everybody going, but not so annoying that they tell me to go away. So
it's a good balance. It's a good place to be with that. We only have a handful of minutes left, so some of the bigger things I want to get into next time that we get a chance to talk, and we've got some time with some of those topics. So as far as right now, I know that you're coming into today, coming out of a number of committees and meetings that we've had in the last couple of days. Any headlines from the latest committees that we've had that stand out to you or anything? Anything at all? No, none at all. No. All right.
I know everybody's got stuff going, and there's actually some interesting stuff going on right now about do we have the council get more involved in some of the committee stuff. And again, I can go either way on stuff. I respect the fact that there's so many people in our community, and I appreciate the fact that people are stepping up left and right to fill the commissions and the councils that are there and the boards, because it's not easy, and you're taking time out of your personal life, and that is more and more of a struggle these days. But people are stepping up, and I only have a few positions that I still have to get filled. Granted, it's a revolving door all the time, but I guess I would like to take a moment to say thank you to everybody that is committing their time, volunteering their time to be a part of the decision-making process and everything we do in the community to make it a thriving, happy community. And for those who are on the fence or don't know anything about it, reach out to me or the city and anybody and talk about what the possibilities are, because if we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it for us. And then things start to fall apart, and we don't want that. We like our community strong and healthy.
I don't know if that was a good question or not, but I love the reaction I got from you. Like, I get that reaction very often. I'll take it. Matt, we do want to give people a bit of a construction update on that and everything. Touch on that a little bit before we wrap up.
Yeah, I just want to, I know it was a point of frustration for a lot of folks, that Lincoln Street project that we had in the works. It took a little longer. There's a lot of, a lot of pieces that weren't foreseen as that project was coming together, but it did come together from Chestnut all the way down to Grand, and the road is beautiful, so it came out right. We did have to stay closed all the way up to Quick Trip for a while because there was some stuff that wasn't done right, and if we let it stay that way, it would have deteriorated the road really quick. So we had to go ahead and wait and get that fixed, and now that's up to speed and it's wide open. Everybody's happy again. Thank you for your patience on that. Everything else is up to speed right now, and they're making progress on some smaller projects that we were hoping to get to, so we look forward to great roads. And again, everybody bear with us on the state roads like A Street. That's something that's out there, and we all know, we all hate it, and we're working with the city every day to try to put some pressure on to get it done as soon as possible. So
big thank you to all of our construction workers out there and everybody that's been slowing down and keeping safe and making sure that they can do their job and continue to do that as we wrap up orange cone season here and everything.
And
end it strong. Sir, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they get in touch with you?
Again, my number is the easiest one I remember, 715-321-0727. You can call me at the office anytime. They'll get you in touch with me. I'll come visit you where you're at. I'm out in the community more than I'm sitting around waiting for things to happen. I think that's important for me to be a part. So if you need me, let me know.
And find out more at WIRapids.org, WIRapids.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. Be sure to follow our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media's YouTube page. It's a great way to keep up to date with everything going on in our community. Follow them on social media as well. A big shout out to them, and a big thank you to you, sir. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll talk next month.
Thanks, James. Appreciate the time. Have a good week.
You too. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Let's talk about FOMO being a no-go when it comes to investing and managing your money. FOMO, F-O-M-O, means fear of missing out. Now, FOMO isn't all bad. I've known a couple Taylor Swift fans who FOMO'd their way to face value tickets and avoided the $1,000 aftermarket, like me. But when it comes to investing, FOMO can be toxic. History is pretty clear about this. Chasing trends that you hear about on TikTok or investing in hot stocks is not going to pan out over time the way a diversified portfolio of index funds will. I want to check in on my investments a few times a year and let time and compound interest work their magic. Okay, folks, for more Everyday Money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR, covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire, weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
'Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Voter registration spiked in Wisconsin right after the last presidential debate. State officials say new voter registrations averaged about 2,100 a day between August 27th and September 10th. But in the 2 days after that, the average jumped to more than 7,800. That includes first-time voters and voters who registered again after moving. Teachers in Wisconsin make about 24% less than other college graduates. That's according to a new study. Economist Sylvia Allegretto authored the report for the Center on Economic Policy Research.
Are we able to retain the teachers that are already in the profession? And how are we going to attract and retain future students of today to choose teaching as a profession?
She recommends more public investment in schools. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Lincoln High School went into lockdown at 10:45 this morning after students reported a threatening message to administration. They immediately called in the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department to investigate. Superintendent Ron Rasmussen said the students did exactly what they're supposed to do in this type of situation.
Interviewing those students, WRPD did. They determined that the messages are related to a Snapchat message that was from Jamestown, New York, about 5 days ago. That was posted, and that's when they determined within 35 minutes that the threat was not towards Lincoln or anybody at Lincoln.
Staff members are trained in ALICE protocols and are empowered to make some decisions on their own for the safety of students in their care.
Some staff did move students away from doorways and move them into bigger areas.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Given his penchant for words and his ability to write and perform stinging satire and parody like no one else on TV, you would think the last person producers of the Emmys would want to rile up would be Last Week Tonight host John Oliver. While Oliver was giving his acceptance speech for Best Scripted Variety Show and honoring his family's recently deceased dog, who he credits with being with his family at his wedding through the pandemic and two pregnancies, music was cued to play him off. At first, he tried to talk over the music, but as it crescendoed, Oliver yelled, F you, there you go. Can't wait to see what he says about the Emmys on a future show. Speaking of the Emmys, there was good news in regard to the broadcast, aside from what happened to John Oliver. Viewership was up 54% and reached almost 7 million viewers, which is up from the 75th annual broadcast in January, which saw record low numbers. The 75th annual Emmys were held in January due to the writers and actors strike in 2023. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and pleasant for tonight, with low temperatures dropping back to the mid-50s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, warm and humid with highs in the mid-80s. Evening storms, some could be strong. Mostly sunny, warm, but less humid Friday. High temperatures into the low 80s.
It's 82 right now.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Having low income can mean making tough choices, choosing between paying for food or medication, or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet, or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe joins us at 11:33. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:50. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this September 18th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mayalove here. Welcoming into the studio, our good friends from the Hanna Center here in Wisconsin Rapids. We have Christy Novinsky with us, director of the Hanna Center. Christy, did I get your name right?
You did.
Nice job. A streak here right now.
I know last time you got it right. This time you got it right. We'll just have to do it again,
it's
right?
So yes, we're going to have to keep hanging out because you're one of the few people I get the name right now. and more importantly, the work that you do as director over there at the Hanna Center, you and your team over there, we appreciate the work that you are doing, the vital, important work that you do, not only in our community, but in Marshfield and really in the surrounding areas. And if you don't mind, I'm really interested in and cannot wait to talk about the motorcycle rally and community fundraisers, not only here, but the one in Marshfield.
Yes.
But whenever we have the opportunity, I like to really bring home the mission statement of the Hanna Center. Do you mind if we start there, Chrissy?
Yeah, I would love just to shed some light on that.
Yeah.
So our mission statement is that we exist to assist women and their children in crisis through compassion and guidance in a nurturing environment. And so that is something that for all of our staff meetings, for our board of directors meetings, we look at that mission statement and we look at all the programs and the things that we do, and we want to make sure that everything that we do lines up with our mission statement. So that really keeps us on track and helps align us to from our advocates who are there day in, day out with the ladies who live in the house, and making sure is what you're doing, is that helping? Is that coming alongside them and guiding them in their life? And that is that really sweet balance of having compassion, but then also guiding so that when our ladies graduate our program, again, they can take care of themselves. And so it's that sweet balance of compassion and guidance that we offer.
It's also a gift to our community that we have Hanna Centers, although I wish you guys had no work.
Right.
I would love you guys to be unemployed, honestly. I tell this to my friends at the Family Center all the time and my fellow board members over there. I wish none of us had a job. I wish none of us were working, but we are where we are, and this is the reality of the situation. So I am proud of our society. I am proud of our community, especially, that embraces these things and that takes them on and is not shy about them,
right.
That it is not talking in a lower voice anymore, where we are as a society. I think that it is so easy oftentimes to look at the work that hasn't, or how far we have to go, when we don't look back and see how far we've come. And yes, there is plenty of work to be done, and we have a lot of important issues and a lot of important things coming up in our lifetimes, really. But it's also important to look at where things were for our parents and our parents' parents.
Absolutely.
And where we are now and how far we have come with this stuff. So you can do both.
Yeah.
And it's a nice note whenever we have a chance to get together and everything to kind of note this, similar to when I have the Family Center join us and talking about that and the progress that is made and the progress that we have to make.
Right. And I think last time that I was here, we talked about just shedding light.
Mm-hmm.
Right, on these things that have been hidden for so long,
mm-hmm.
that we're saying, okay, this really does exist. These issues, the trauma, the crisis that that men and women are enduring on day-to-day basis, the things that happen to them as children that now impact them as adults. And if and when we step in, we can not only shed light on that, but we can come alongside them to make sure that they are taking healthy steps, building in healthy rhythms into their lives so that they can stop that cycle that brought them to that place of need. And so, yeah, I agree with you. I wish we didn't have to have centers like
mm-hmm.
that, but thank God we do, right?
Yes.
Because,
yes.
Oh my word, we can come together and as a community. And I love that you mentioned our community, because Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas around us and in Wood County, we have seen such an incredible amount of support, whether it's been financial or it's been in-kind donations, where people are saying, I'm going to come alongside you in whatever way that I can to support, to show you guys that you're not an island here doing this all by yourself. Those of us who are in this type of work and the day in and the day out, sometimes it can feel like that. Mm-hmm. And so when a community member comes along, and just like we're going to talk about this motorcycle rally, mm-hmm. when they came to us from our house in Compassus and they said, we've decided that we want Hanna Center to benefit from this.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't something that we went out looking for. They approached us. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's our community saying, we see you. And mm-hmm. we want to do this shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, and say, we want to support you, and we're excited about what you guys are doing.
We have a brave community, and a big heart community,
yes.
And it really shines and it really shows in situations like this. And especially when we have a community that looks at ways, how can I help? What can I do? What can we do to help you do your job and your team do their job and some of that? And some of that is fundraising, and some of that comes through fundraising. So let's go ahead and dive right into that,
right.
This motorcycle rally coming up. And how did that, because I only ask because it seems interesting, how did that become to be?
They approached us.
Yeah,
honestly,
yeah.
That's really how
that's
it happened.
Much of it, yeah.
And I mean, it was exciting for us, you know, and especially in Rapids. I mean, we just opened our doors on mm-hmm. June 17th, which is so exciting. Our community got us to the finish line.
Yes.
And then we had our ribbon cutting mm-hmm. on July 1st. And so Compassus and our house senior living approached mm-hmm. us and said, this is what we want to do. Are you guys interested? And of course we're interested. And I'm just going to be a little selfish about this. I love motorcycles.
Right.
And so, and it says that there are motorcycle rides.
I mean, come on.
Come on now.
Seems good. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to be there? Why wouldn't you want to show up from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on the 26th of September and go get a motorcycle ride and get your face painted? Adults can get their faces painted. Did you know that?
Yeah. I just to make sure that I had all the prep done for this interview, and I look up the hard hitting things all the time. And yes, if you're over 18, you still can get your face painted.
Thank you.
It needed to be said. It really did.
And you can jump in a bounce house.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just saying.
That's the big one for me. I've never been in a bounce house before. I am in my 40s, and I've never gotten to be in a bounce house. I think that
needs
to be said.
Maybe you should show up, James.
Yes, I definitely will, Chrissy. And especially because these are things that not only I, but many, our station in particular, but us as a community, we want to support these kind of events. Because you're right, this is fun. There's a lot of cool things to go on here. But whether it is the motorcycle rides, the face painting, or some of these other things, one of the things that I think this community does better than most, if anybody, is being able to have a good time, enjoying yourself, and whether it's in the back of your mind or the front of your heart, mm-hmm. realizing that what you're doing is helping our community, is impacting our community.
Yes.
We can do both at the same time.
Yep.
We can have a good time, enjoy ourselves, while also raising awareness about a cause or putting funding into a cause or just letting people like you know, we got your back.
Yeah.
We see you, we got your back, and we're here for you, whatever you need.
I love that. And it's funny to be on a microphone and doing this radio interview because people can't see my face right now, but I'm literally beaming because I'm just so excited about what our community does,
yeah.
and how they continue to show up, which is so fun. And so at this fundraiser,
it looks like you're going to have motorcycle rides, like you
yep.
mentioned. That's
mm-hmm.
going to be a lot of fun. Face painting, certainly. Now, I like to tell everybody, if you're going to have an event, one thing you have to have is a raffle. Every event in this community needs a raffle. People love
yes,
these raffles.
Do.
You're going to have a basket raffle with this one, it looks like?
Yes.
Cool.
But that's something that Hannah Center is not... We don't have ownership of that,
right,
so
right.
I don't know what the basket raffle is.
Got to find out.
Come and find out. And then the bounce house, and then something that we're going to be doing as well to raise additional funds is we will be having some baked goods there for sale. Definitely come on out for that. So there's going to be food, $6 a plate that includes barbecue, chips, cookie, and soda. And then another great thing, so this is, again, what I love about our community. Our House Senior Living and Compassus said, let's not just stop with Hannah Center.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do an additional thing. So if you bring a non-perishable food item to donate to the Southwood County Emergency Pantry Shelf, that's how you get entered to win the basket raffle.
Yeah.
Which is
so
awesome.
Such a, again, a win-win kind of situation where we're having fun, we're enjoying ourselves, and also, you know, really adding to this community. And aspects of the community, and this is nothing... I know it's low-hanging fruit to pick on government or politicians or any of this. I'm not doing that with this. I think that any adult can step back and say, we got a lot going on.
Yes.
There's a lot of issues out there. And there's a lot of things that, whether we want them to or not, or whether we like it or not, fall into a gray area.
Mm-hmm.
Or fall into an area where maybe the government can't do too much, but it comes on us as citizens. And then we have situations like we have going on this year, where the funding has been cut for domestic violence shelters around
right.
the country. And some of these things. So we're seeing that as well, along with the fact that we know that there aren't there's just enough bodies really in this area to be able to help with these things, whatever organization we're talking about, in almost any state. So our community hears all that. Our community knows all that's right. going on, and all the more wants to step up and be a part of events like this motorcycle rally.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is, again, and as a side note here to all of this that we're talking about, all the goodwill that we're creating and going to be creating with this event, I think it should be said as well, very cool idea. Like, it's a very original, cool idea, too. That we don't see this very often as an event with any organization. I love the idea of this. We have a very strong, supportive motorcycle community in yes. this area that not only loves their bikes, but loves this community. Mm-hmm. And so for them to be able to, I know I've talked to a lot of people in this world, and they oftentimes feel like, well, we want to do this. We want to be a part of this. And sometimes they're not asked to or able to. I love that we're seeing this kind of combination of that going on too, because while it is important to learn what the HANA Center does and the clients that they have and the good work that they're doing over there, it doesn't hurt to find out, hey, you know, our bikers here, they're just people. They're just human beings.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they just happen to be on a two-wheel instead of a four-wheel. I mean, you know, and understanding a little bit more of that, and even understanding a little more of, and having a little more empathy for our bike riders out yes. there and some of that. So many different layers to an event like this.
Yes, isn't it such a beautiful thing? Like, and I love that you touched a little bit about, you know, just what's going on right now in our country, in our mm-hmm. world. And I think we can get to this place of becoming so offended in such simple, mm-hmm. simple little things, right? We become offended. And I love that we don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Right? We can choose to be around people who may think differently than us, who may have a different viewpoint, different heart set about different things. But we can come to these different types of fundraisers as a community, and we can lay our differences aside, and we can say, you know, we're going to rally together. We're going to have a different type of fundraiser. You know, I mean, there's lots of different fundraisers out there. And mm-hmm. what's one of the things that we're doing as an organization is we're trying to figure out, like, what are the different groups within our community that maybe we're not reaching out to yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, with, you yeah. know, and the motorcycle rallies is a great example mm-hmm. of that. Right. Like, that's a group that, hey, we need to connect with them, because and you said it perfectly, James, like it's yeah, they're just on two wheels, yeah. but they have a heart mm-hmm. and they want to give back. And so they're going to show up. And I would love for our community to show up as well mm-hmm. to this.
It's going to be an event that everybody can enjoy. There is something for everybody to enjoy. Encourage the families to come down and enjoy this one. It's all coming together for a great experience and a great way to not only put into the HANA Center, put into and give some fundraising help there, but as I mentioned before, even if you are just showing up and just kind of stopping by, checking things out, you are one more person that reminds Christy and her team, you are not in this alone. We have your back. We believe in what you guys are doing, and we want to support that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
I want to also mention a couple of other things here, too. We'll come back to the motorcycle rally and give people the details of when that is again. But there's a great event going on also in Marshfield, the Giving for Life Built on Faith donation that is going on over there. That's October 3rd. Their doors will open at 5:30. The dinner will kick off at 6. This is another great fundraiser. I just wanted to let people know that is out there, and they should check that out, whether you're in the Marshfield area or not.
Right. One thing, you know, as we're talking about that fundraiser, so we have two main fundraisers right now for HANA Center. And the reason why we have these two main fundraisers is because we're in a place where we have two locations.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one organization, two locations. And so Marshfield started 31 years ago. And so they are still going strong over there, but they still need continued support and mm-hmm. the community to come around them. And so they do this Giving for Life banquet every single year, and it's awesome. They have a speaker coming. They have some personal testimonies from the women who might already be like in the program right now, mm-hmm. and they have one who just recently graduated who's going to come wow. and talk about what her life looks like mm-hmm. now as a result of being part of Hannah Center and going through the entire program and graduating from the program. And she is thriving. It's really fun to hear more and more about that young woman. So, yep, and they're going to have a live auction. They're going to have silent auction and other ways to win prizes and money and different things like that. But really, it is a time for the community to rally around Hannah Center and in Marshfield, Wisconsin.
It's a wonderful thing, and it's one of the bravest things I'll hear today of somebody coming forward and sharing their story, wherever stage they're in.
Right.
Especially if they are able to show the benefits of the Hannah Center and certainly graduate from there.
Yeah.
That's one of the braver things any of us is going to hear today. That yeah. is pretty cool. And certainly the River Edge Golf Course that this is taking place is beautiful.
Like, oh, it's
a gorgeous area to have a nice meal and enjoy yourself. It's a great place to spend an evening. Built on Faith, their guest speaker, Mary Dockey, that's what she'll be speaking on. And she's a great talker. She's really good at what she does as yeah. well. All of this is great, but you really hit home where hearing from people, and that's so often what gets people to listen.
Right.
You know, whether it is a great, well-done commercial or a really good ad in the newspaper, those are great, and people will look at those and see those. But what really gets them to engage is real, right. And being real with people. And these are real people, fellow community members up there talking about their experiences. Man, does that hit home. And that's kind of what we need to have happen in order to get – I'm not talking about so much the people that have already volunteered or already supported the Hannah Center. They've liked the Facebook page or something like that. Those people on the fringe that we're still trying to reach, mm-hmm. that how we reach them is being real. And being straight with them. Mm-hmm. And these clients, these people are able to do that.
Right. We tune in, right? When someone yes. is going to share their story, that is something mm-hmm. that pulls at our heartstrings and that says, hey, I need to pay attention. And I need to come on board with this in some way, shape, or form. And so that's why I love these events that we do, mm-hmm. where we can have a really beautiful sit-down meal. The director over in Marshfield, her name is Kim. She and the fundraising team and the board of directors are doing a really fantastic job in pulling this whole thing together. But for them to be able to have these women come up and mm-hmm. share their story, it is an honor to be able to sit in front of women who have worked so hard to pull their lives back together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I tell the ladies that we serve in Rapids all the time, I thank them for letting us come alongside them in this journey.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big deal when a woman says she needs help and we need to pay attention. It is an incredible viewpoint to see a woman take steps towards mm-hmm. healing. And then to see her thriving in life and being able to take her life back and to be able to impact her community, to be able to impact her kids' lives. And again, I know I said this before, but stopping that cycle mm-hmm. of chaos, the cycle of turmoil, the cycle of trauma that she endured beforehand, and to stop that for her kids so that it does not get carried on from generation to generation. And that is the work that we are doing. That's that bottom line of us saying, hey, we're going to come alongside you. We're going to support you. We're going to do this through compassion and through guidance. And we are also going to celebrate you. And that's what happens at the Giving for Life Banquet.
Mm, very well said, Christy. Very well
Thank
said.
Thank you.
The Giving for Life Banquet is going on Thursday, October 3rd at 6 o'clock over at 212 3rd, East 3rd Street in Marshfield. You can find out more by going to their Facebook page and liking that and letting them know that you're going to be going. And find out more on the Hannah Center website as well. That website is hannahcenter.com. We'll give that information again before we wrap up, because we did want to wrap up talking about the motorcycle rally coming up real quick here. It's taking place at Our House Assisted Living at 2941 16th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. Be going on next Thursday, September 26th from 11 to 2. We're going to have motorcycle rides as a part of this, Christy.
Yes.
What other things are going to be going on at the event?
So we'll have face painting, and there will be a basket raffle that you can be entered into if you bring a non-perishable food item to donate to the Southwood County Emergency Pantry Shelf. And a bounce house is going to be there. And then lots of really great treats. So I will be making scones for it. I used to have a scone business that
nice.
I did and sold at the winter market. And so I will be making scones for that. So I'm really excited to be able to do that. And our ladies at our house are going to be making treats as well to sell. And so we're getting our clients involved. We're getting our board members involved. And so again, just coming alongside and doing something for Hannah Center.
Keep in mind, whether it's this event or any events going on with the Hannah Center, always looking for good volunteers, always could use extra hands. If you want to volunteer, if you want to donate, if you want to find out more about this event, Christy, how can they reach you?
So if you want to find more out about this event, go on to Facebook and you can go right to the Hannah Center page. And I would encourage everybody right now, take out your phones and get onto Facebook or get onto Instagram. Follow Hannah Center because you will get all of the updates for every single event that we do. We put a lot of information out there. We also have our website, which is a very simple website to get to, which is www.hannahcenter.com. And you can go out there if you want to get tickets for our Giving for Life banquet. You purchase it right on there. Otherwise, you can reach out to us at our location in Wisconsin Rapids.
That is 1320 Pepper Avenue right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Keep in mind, the Marshfield address is 212 East 3rd Street in Marshfield. Find out more by going to their website, hannahcenter.com, and be sure to follow them on social media. Let them know that you're coming to these events, too, and share these events on your pages. You just never know who might see them that wouldn't otherwise. Christy, always good talking to you. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you so much.
And we'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Carl and Peggy Hendricks from the Hendricks Distillery in Oshkosh. And Sarah Enwald, Festival Manager for Festivals of Cedarburg, joins to discuss Cedarburg's Wine and Harvest Festival.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, that I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican Sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling. It's a gut feeling.
Yeah,
inherently.
Feel it in your bones,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that Just a Bit Outside the Movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You got to go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie.
Yeah.
Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.